Big Foamy Head, Show 50, Highland Brewing Company.
Well, I woke up this morning, my biscuit roll had gone. Well, I come in, baby, sit down, daddy, please. Well, I come in, baby, sit down, daddy, please. I wanna tell you.
That was Eric Clapton, believe it or not, singing a song that we've heard multiple times by multiple artists on this show. That was Rolling and Tumbling. And, Rick, I was telling you earlier, this is a song that when I looked to see who actually wrote it originally, because I've heard so many people, nobody knows.
Can't find it.
Can't find it. And the reason we can't find it says that Muddy Waters, it's thought to have been one of the earliest recorded ones, but there is a another fella who goes by the name of Hambone, who sang it prior to that. And then before that, it had been sang around. So the credit goes to Unknown. It's just a blues song. It's been around forever.
Well, Unknown was a great artist.
He was prolific.
That's
too.
Right.
He produced many works.
Him and Anonymous.
Yeah, that's right. I think they had a big competition going.
That's right.
So what have you been up to?
Well, this was going to be our big anniversary show, the Big 50, but life happens.
That's
so
right.
We're back in the studio, the beer studio, which is fine. We got big plans for a show coming up, but it just won't be a celebratory anniversary type show.
Because we'll get ragged by the other beer cast.
That's right. People would make fun of us. And yeah. We hate that.
Yeah.
Because we live for the appreciation and respect of others.
We're all about what other people think of us.
That's right. That's the only reason we do this, is to garner attention.
That's it. Please tell your friends to listen to us.
And if you believe that. Anyway, what I've been up to, I went to the Asheville Brewgrass Festival. Mm-hmm. I have a ton of audio from that, and I'm going to release that as an audio extra. That might actually come out before the show.
And so we will get to hear live, uncut, raw, naked you at the Brewfest.
Yeah,
Brewgrass. Getting your beer on, your Bluegrass Brewfest brew throwdown.
Well, let's look at it this way. They had 40 breweries. Each brewery had a minimum of 3 beers. So that's 120 beers, okay. And I don't think I missed a single one.
That's what I was going to ask you. Okay.
So I got real sloppy drunk towards the end, and I apologize to the people that I interviewed who will not make it to the podcast because I'm just not going to air that stuff. The stuff that I'm letting out is really below my standards to begin with. So
it's something you got to listen to. It's blackmail evidence you're willing to share.
That's right, up to a point.
Good deal.
So while I was in Nashville, I visited the Highland Brewing Company, their new brewery. They have they're brewing in a historic building in historic downtown Nashville.
Okay.
Which we know is close to the Biltmore Mansion.
Yeah, the giant
railroad magnet.
There, yeah.
Yeah. So the Biltmores. That's pretty much probably what the town is founded on, or at least it's anchored to, is that estate. But they've got a really good beer scene going on in North Carolina right now.
Yeah,
yeah, okay. There's I get into this discussion a lot during the audio extra, but we talk about Pop the Cap, and that's a thing that they did last year in North Carolina. I think that we actually read a news article on this show regarding that. But before North Carolina had a limit of 6% alcohol by volume was the highest beer they would allow in the state.
Yeah,
they raised it to 15. So what happened is that created a huge vacuum, and all of these distributors from all around the world are suddenly flooding North Carolina. And they have a ready and willing marketplace there, too, because everybody's, hey, look at all these new beers.
Well, that's very forward of them to expand their antiquated laws and to invite more diversity of product in.
Yeah, they were the last of 5 states that had this arcane law on the books, and it was from Prohibition.
Counting us.
Well, we allow the high-gravity beers, but they sell them in a liquor store. I don't know if that's
exactly
the same.
Well, that's kind of a bad compromise, you know.
Yeah, I know. It's certainly less than optimal.
But we digress. So this beer, we're off to
Highland
drinking here.
Right now we've got the St. Teresa's Pale Ale, mm-hmm. and it's from Highland Brewing Company, Asheville, North Carolina.
This is a good beer. I'm enjoying this.
What do you think?
I like this, and I was reading a little bit about it's a pale ale. It just says pale ale. No distinction over American or anything like that. It's a pale ale.
Not meant to be an IPA. Meant to be a pale ale.
Yeah. And it's a good beer. You drink probably quite a few of these. It's very tasty. Goes with our barbecue nachos that we're enjoying.
The marketing speak. Yeah. It's a golden pale ale having slightly malty body balanced by an assertive American hop flavor. This pale ale displays a delicate hop nose due to the process of dry hopping. A crisp and refreshing beer, perfect for any occasion. IBUs, 24. Alcohol content, 5.2 by volume.
And the hops, Chinook and Cascade. And this is where I just have questions and issues with this. You can taste hops, but that's a fairly low IBU.
Not boiling them.
24. And you told me, because I saw Chinook and, you know, I braced myself, because Chinook hops are just mean and bitter. And
bitter in a good way.
In a good way, of course. And cynical and bitter, like the people who drink it.
That's right.
So I drank this, and it's like, well, where's the punch in the face that's usually associated with Chinook hops? And it wasn't there. And that's what you told me, these are dry hopped with it. And so I didn't get that, literally, the sensation of being hit with a pine tree, which is Chinook, right? And so I guess they did heavier on the Cascade and used the Chinook for a little bit of flavor and finished dry hopped that. So used it more for aroma?
Aroma, right, exactly.
Oh, okay.
So if you boil it, you get that isomerization. Don't ask me what the hell that means, but
certainly
basically
good,
you're utilizing the alpha acids and releasing the oils from the hops.
Well, so. I like this, and I can smell it. It's got kind of a piney smell. When you take a whiff, the Chinook is just really distinctive. You know, that's the Stone Brewers and the Arrogant Bastards, and yeah. I think some other folks. It's like as soon as you recognize it by the smell, and then by the taste. But it's just lightly used in there and very good, very good.
Interesting story about dry hopping. Yeah. I ordered a more beer kit called Pliny the Elder from Russian River, a very famous beer. Just about everybody's heard of it. 7 ounces of dry hopping.
Wow.
I haven't done much dry hopping in the past.
That's a ton of dry hops.
If any. Normally, most recipes call for
two ounces
for the entire batch.
Yeah.
You know, this has like 15 to 20 ounces of hops for the entire batch, 5-gallon batch, dry hopped, 7 ounces.
Man.
Okay. But that stuff expands. So it's kind of overflowing my carboy in the head. Spewed them all over the place. You know?
So it's all over the place. Okay.
Yeah, so it got a little nasty. But these little hop pellets, just a little warning for your home brewers, the hop pellets, they take up a lot of volume.
They're bigger than they look.
Yeah, they expand to a bigger size, and then they sink, and everything's cool after that. So I'm going to go to the beer cellar and grab the next one.
Okay. And I guess I'd point out that we're the show snack, what we're enjoying now, a timeless classic, barbecue nachos. You can't go wrong with that. I know we've got a recipe on the website. I guess we should probably put another recipe. I want to say I got a video segment of that. And if I do, we'll put a link to that, too, on making barbecue nachos. It couldn't
I know
be
you
easier.
Had one on the quesadillas.
Okay. I think I did on nachos, too.
By the way, we did an improvement to our website.
Couple.
Several, yeah. But one in particular, we made it easier to find the articles.
Oh,
yeah, it's just called an index of
articles. Yeah, the index of articles. Sorry.
So instead of having to page through a year's worth of shows to find a recipe that we may have discussed last December, you can just go to this index page and it'll be listed.
Yeah, we did this based on people coming to the website and looking for particular things. We noticed some of them coming up over and over and over, so we put that in there. Makes it a lot easier for you. And so we're always looking for more things to add to it.
Myself included, I was always looking for Dick's dry rub recipe. So
yeah. So any suggestions? Let us know. We'll put them on. And we are on to
Gaelic Ale.
Gaelic Ale, which is kind of
I think that's probably a cornerstone beer for these guys.
Okay. And that's where their whole theme, Highland, and they've got the tartan, I notice, on their bottles, although they aren't actually family tartans. They're just colors.
Do you know that?
Oh, hell yeah.
Oh, okay.
I got a little Highland in me, man.
Explain that to me.
I got a Scottish background.
Oh, you do? Okay.
There are the tartans that are on the bottle represent the family, the clan from which they came.
I knew that.
Okay. So I'm looking at, I see the St. Teresa's, I see the Highland Gaelic Ale, and it's the same plaid, just they shifted the colors a little bit. So I don't know if this is their family tartan, their plaid, and then they just modify the colors.
Well, I don't think you're allowed to modify the colors.
No.
You have a pattern and a color scheme, I think, that goes with it.
Exactly. You do, and that's your colors. We have a big deal here, and actually it just occurred, I think, last weekend or weekend before last, where all of the Scottish clans in Memphis have a big deal. And they drink a bunch of beer until they're piss drunk, falling down, and engage in the Scottish sport, not yet an Olympic sport, of tossing logs.
Yeah,
the caber.
Telephone pole.
It's a big-ass telephone pole because you got to get tore up to believe you can lift the damn thing without killing yourself.
Yeah, so you got some massive men running around in kilts tossing these things
that's
around.
That's right. I guess so. When you blow your gonads out, the kilt makes it easier to get to the injured area quicker. And
your hernia.
Apply ice.
Let's not even talk about that. Gaelic Ale, a deep amber-colored American ale featuring a rich multi-body. I got that.
Man, yeah.
Cascade and Willamette hops add a complex flavor and aroma. This ale is exceptionally balanced between malty sweetness and delicate hop bitterness.
I agree 100%. This has got an IBU of 32, so it's technically hoppier, but it is exactly as the marketing speak says. Starts off malty, even got like a little maple sort of twang to it, and Good stuff. Finishes with bitter. That's great. Love that.
So I'm scratching my head wondering what an Imperial Gaelic Ale might taste like.
Well, I think we're going to find out, aren't
we? Are we?
Is that,
okay.
Yeah.
That was a little, what do they call that in movies where they give you a little foreshadowing?
Oh, the teaser? dun, dun, dun.
Dun. All right. So.
And again, this is, it says Willamette, Cascade, and Chinook. And I don't taste a lick of Chinook in here. This must, again, be, they dry hop it with that? And I'm not smelling it.
It's got a nice orange color, burnt orange, I guess you would say.
This is good.
A really light tan head.
Yeah, this is my favorite so far.
Yeah.
I'm liking this a lot. This is real good. It does. It's every time take a drink, it got sweet, and then turns to bitter. Doesn't change. Very nice.
My wife went on a trip with her cousin and her sister, and one of their stops was Asheville, and she brought me back a six-pack of this stuff. And
really?
This stuff went fast.
Who told her?
I don't know. She just found it in the grocery store.
Well, good for her. That's good. And, you know, that's something that we talked about, a Christmas gift last time.
Mm-hmm.
The wives, who, of course, since we all men-wise don't need anything, it's an easy gift for them to give you. Just tell them what kind of beer. There's nothing would be appreciated more.
Or send them on a beer run. They get to go on a trip, and you get beer in return.
There's that. Yeah.
So.
All right. Well, so we're going to finish this off and come back with some more from Highland Breweries. And we're going to listen to, I was trying to find some classic blues, right? I'm getting prepped for our pilgrimage. It sounds like we got us a good weekend coming up. And I was looking for classics. And this one is one that I want to play. It's a classic from Howlin' Wolf. Sounds like a guy that you said that sounds like a Red from what
was
19th Street Red.
He's the guy we met during the barbecue fest.
At the barbecue fest. And
he was the one-man band underneath the bridge.
And so he sounds like Howlin' Wolf. Howlin' Wolf, epic, classic blues man. This is Smokestack Lightning, and this is from the London Sessions. This is the last appearance that he did. He wandered off the stage, collapsed. 2 months later, he is dead. And he had a fella playing with him on these sessions who we started the show with, Eric Clapton. And so this Howlin' Wolf, Smokestack Lightning.
Ooh.
was Howlin' Wolf, Smokestack Lightning, and I hope you didn't blow through that. If you did,
go back and listen to it.
Go back and listen to it again, because there will be a quiz at the end of the show. Now, this is really, I mean, he is, this was, you can probably tell by listening to it, an older song. This is probably, I don't know when this particular one was done, but most likely it's in the late 50s, early 60s. But Howlin' Wolf was a kind of a tortured soul, which is always a good thing.
For a blues artist. That's right.
And
you need to suffer.
He was never, in terms of when he first really came to prominence, a young man. So in his younger years, this was just something he sang because he wanted to sing. He got nothing for it. And I was reading some of this and talking to you about it, that he had a horrible childhood, ran away from home at 13. His aunt, who was raising him, you know, was just thought he was the devil's child. And so he ran away and born in the Delta, Mississippi. And then later, in the early 40s, he went, joined the Army, was discharged, and had a nervous breakdown. 1943. I didn't know they made them back then.
Yeah,
apparently did. Moves in with a woman in Lebanon, Tennessee. Things went from bad to worse.
Kind of a stone's throw from here.
He and the girlfriend had yet another breakdown. The girlfriend was put in an institution. Howlin' Wolf left Tennessee, worked on the farm for a little bit.
I wonder if that's a euphemism for something. Had what? A breakdown. Is that
nervous
like rehab
breakdown?
In the old days or something?
Could
I don't
be.
Know.
Could be. Very well could be. But 1948, he decides, you know, the music is just a little more than he can stand, so he's got to do it full time because he'd been playing with Willie Brown, Son House, and other people. He moves in 1948, moves to West Memphis, Arkansas, or as we refer to it, left Memphis,
right.
Across the bridge. West
across
Memphis is in Arkansas. Go figure. And he put together a band with James Cotton, who we've had on the show, Junior Parker, Pat Hare, Matt Guitar Murphy, and Willie Johnson.
Of Stack Mac.
Yeah.
Murphy from Stax Record.
Yeah, exactly. And 1951, Howlin' Wolf got noticed by a guy who was considered a star maker back in that day, Sam Phillips, here in Memphis. Brought him over the bridge.
Sun Records.
Brought him to Sun Records, laid down some tracks, recorded Moanin' at Midnight and How Many More Years. They shot to the top of the charts. And he leased them to Chess Records. So they'd have a much broader distribution, right? So he just took off. From then on, all he did was he was a blues player. Thing to remember at that time, he was 40 around that time. And Sam Phillips, who we all know here, but he was a guy who discovered Elvis Presley, Jerry Lee Lewis, Carl Perkins, Johnny Cash.
Roy Orbison.
Roy played with him, Charlie Rich. And so Sam knew what he was doing. And Sam thought that Wolf was his greatest discovery, and losing him to Chicago eventually was kind of a big deal. But the song that we just heard was his last performance. So that was, I forget the year, but it was like the late 70s, early 80s. So this man was like near, you know, 80 years old. And he still, as you heard, can sing. And the rumor is he walked off the stage, passed out. 2 months later, he's dead. So classic blues guy. We're going to have some more music here coming up. And what else we got? What are we drinking now?
Well, we're drinking the Cashmere IPA. It's a brilliant dry pale ale with an aggressive hop character, balanced with a smooth finish. A bold beer best consumed with a stiff upper lip.
Yeah.
IBU 60, alcohol 5.6, hops Dryan, Goldings, Mountain Hood, Fuggles, Magnum, Willamette.
And
I don't like it.
No, me neither. Stiff upper lip.
I've had some great IPAs.
Yeah.
I've had some mediocre IPAs.
Yeah.
That was the first time I had a really bad IPA. Well, I'm not going to say it's a bad IPA.
It doesn't taste like an IPA.
I don't like it.
I'm not wild about it either. It's got a funky sort of taste. And it says IBU of 60. I mean, it's just bitter.
Yes, it is.
It's like drinking hot water or something. There's not a lot of flavor. It's just all bitter.
Yeah, I would say it probably doesn't have the malt backing that it needs for a strong bitter beer.
So. It's just, you know, I don't know. I think, you know, maybe it was because we had the Gaelic, which was so good.
Yeah, it was.
Maybe it's just a comparison that.
Well, maybe they're just throwing this out as a Me Too beer, you know?
Yeah, I think they can do a lot better. And this doesn't have any. This is like bitter, 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 and this has no Chinook in it. I don't know. Maybe that Strian.
That Magnum is a bittering hop.
Yeah.
They just add that for boiling. Yeah. So
I don't know. I agree with you. I think they could have done a lot better on their IPA. I think they need to do another one, try again, because their other beers so far. I mean, this is
what, been great. Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. Better luck on this cashmere.
All right.
Try it yourself.
Back to the beer cellar.
Okay. And while you're in there, we are still. This will be our second time to say it. We swore up and down it was not the beer talking, but we're going. Sunday,
but the beer talks so many times.
Sunday, right? October 15th on the lawn at the. Beautiful Tunica Cabaret, the Las Vegas of the South. We're going to go down there and watch Robert Randolph, Dwayne Burnside, our boy, Jimbo Mathis, Rising Star, Fife and Drums, and the headliner, North Mississippi All-Star. That's going to be a good Sunday. Out on the yard, drinking beer, listening to blues, and then gambling. Hell yeah. What could go wrong?
Yeah, I'll bring my $20 and I'll buy a roll of nickels.
There you go.
Maybe I can go quarters.
But. Well, you know, my wife loves the nickel slots.
So do I.
She's a cheap date when we go to the casino. But we got a good weekend coming up. We got that, and it's October.
Right. So
this
is
Oktoberfest.
St. Mary's Oktoberfest. It's one of the oldest Catholic churches down
here.
Very,
very old.
And they have a. Gathering, then they're going to have the whole local homebrew club, mm-hmm. the Bluff City Brewers, are going to be bringing kegs down there. The distributors are going to be bringing beers. So that's all I need for a good day. I guess there are other things to do, like eat. And
there should be a lot of this going on everywhere. Everybody's listening to this. This is one of those things. Look in your community paper. Call the beer store. Look around. And it's October. This is beer month. I mean, this is Oktoberfest all month long, right?
Right.
And so there's.
But the Germans celebrate in September, you know.
No,
yeah,
I did not. Really?
Yeah, Oktoberfest is over on the first weekend of October.
Oh, hell.
So.
well, here in America.
But that sounds silly to me. Why do you have Oktoberfest in September?
Here in America, we're going to celebrate it all month long.
All month long. So, Journey to the Beer Cellar brought back the Oatmeal Porter,
mm-hmm.
a unique Highland creation. This robust beer is black in color, very malty with hints of chocolate, roasted flavor, and well-balanced hop character. 32 IBUs, alcohol by volume is 5.8%, hops Chinook, Willamette, and Cascade.
Well, see, whatever I'm looking at differs slightly from what you're reading. The marketing speak is the same, and I think it's dead on. Got a nice, roasty taste, little hints of chocolate. It's a mm-hmm. good porter.
This is a good porter. Right.
It's not so much coffee as some porters are, more towards the chocolate. Very good. I like this. And it's got more of a head than most porters do,
mm-hmm.
you know? The hops that my little deal only says Chinook and Mount Hood, and you had another one in there.
Chinook, are we reading the same thing? Oatmeal Porter, Chinook, Willamette, and Cascade.
I'm sorry, I'm reading the wrong one. It says almost the same thing.
What are you looking at, the stout?
Yeah, I don't know, probably so. Podcast at its finest.
That's right.
There you go. But it is. I mean, I was looking at the beer mostly.
Yeah, well, the beer is actually quite good.
It's very good.
Thank goodness. I mean, they redeemed themselves in one
beer.
Yes,
they did.
So.
They did. Very good. Yeah, I'm glad we didn't say that IPA till the end, because we talked about going from, you know,
non-hoppy
to hoppy. Yeah, and so it's a good thing we mixed it up, because it would have been bad to end on.
Yeah, so what I did is I went through the ales, and now I'm going through the darker beers.
Yeah, it was very good. The porter, very nice. I'm enjoying that.
Do a little foreshadowing.
IBU of 32.
A little foreshadowing.
Doesn't taste like it.
A little foreshadowing. We'll go into the Imperial.
Ooh. Dun, dun, dun.
So, yeah, I'm looking forward to Oktoberfest downtown and going to see the North Mississippi All-Stars.
Yeah, that's going to be a big time. And, it, you know, it's a good kind of weather. I mean, I guess we're fortunate here. It's a little warmer, right, than other places. We still haven't – summer ends probably in about another week. Halloween usually – well, you don't wear a coat, but –
It's starting to get chilly.
At night, late at night. But
now, one thing we didn't do that we said we were going to was go down and film the fat asses at the fair.
I took my camera.
Oh, did you?
But you know what? I was shocked and amazed. There wasn't that many.
No, really.
I got footage. I haven't cut it together yet. What I filmed was the wide assortment of food.
Oh, did you?
And I was amazed at, I don't know what it was. Maybe it was the night that I went. It was not, you know, single-toothed brother and sister now joined as man and wife type of gathering that you usually see. You know, the Mid-South Fair brings out some pretty scary inbred-looking individuals. You know, if you can get past the six fingers and that little dimple on their head that might be a third eye, you know, it's usually pretty creepy. But, yeah, we went there and
– You make it sound so appealing.
It just – we were talking about it on the way back. It's like, we're never going back. It's just gotten that bad. I got footage.
Oh, really?
I don't know if it'll make it to the website. I filmed it. There was you know, I ate all the food. I had my smoked turkey leg, which was very good.
Always I didn't good. Make it down this year.
Well, I'm not going to tell you missed anything.
Yeah, okay.
It's it was just kind of a dud. They whatever.
Congratulations to your youngest, though.
Oh yeah, that was a big deal.
Yeah.
Okay. My little girl, littlest girl, she entered the chili competition, her first one, 10 years old, and won.
Yeah, she saw her little first, trophy outside.
By little, you mean that 4 foot tall
yeah,
job?
Yeah.
Yeah. She is the Mid-South Junior Chili Champion and now has points to her credit. And my mother, her grandmother, gave her the secret recipe. Didn't give it to me.
Family tradition.
Family tradition.
Being passed on from generation to generation.
I got it. Maybe I can get that and post it on the website. But it is definitely an award-winning recipe. Every one of my children have used it. Every one of them have won. You saw the trophies coming.
You might
want to
do that. That might help someone out that's got to enter a chili contest. And we have a soup sampler here in the neighborhood every once in a while. So I don't know if you've participated in that, but that'd be a great dish to bring.
Good idea. I mean, it takes hours to make. I mean, it is a process. And the thing that I learned that my mother told me is you cannot buy the chili powder at the store. The stuff at the store, they won't even look at. It's just not the same.
Oh, okay.
Apparently, it's like Budweiser to the types of beers that we're drinking right now, miles apart, which was ironic because the Sunday before last, because I wasn't here to watch my daughter win, we had a pre-cook where she did it for the very first time, and it was fantastic. And my mother and I sat there drinking beer.
Oh, okay. Cool mom.
Yeah.
Sit down and have a
I brought over a little sampler. And my mother is very open to trying new things. And so I gave her a couple of beers, took over, you know, little different things and had her try different beers. And it was very fun. So I guess it's something that I don't know if that's something that you think about doing with your mom. You know, it's something that you can always introduce someone to the beers and good beers that you enjoy.
Well, so, I think it's great that she's passing this down to her grandchildren. It's a
screw,
a tradition
screw
and a hobby.
Me,
and,
but
well,
let me tell your kids.
All the better. When it's time to eat chili, you can go over to your kid's house.
Oh, man,
house
I
later
know.
On, you know.
I can go multiple places.
Assuming you can get the little boogers out from under the roof.
Yep. Well, you know, we talked about this on shows past, did our epic Master Beer Theater about the chili contest. So
we have another Master Beer Theater
coming up. That's right. Yeah, I know. I got the audio. That's going to be good. Stay tuned for that. But
we are about to tap into – how many we got left? We got two.
We are done with the standards. This is the – I just went to the beer cellar while Dick was warming our hearts and brought back the Black Mocha Stout.
Mm-hmm.
Highland's most robust beer, having a very malty body with a large roasted chocolate flavor. It is black in color with a very clean finish and a moderate hop flavor.
And this thing pours a
big, you got a nice head there. Head. Wow. Yeah, that's a nice.
Look at that. That's a three finger right
bubbly
there.
Bubbly guy, yeah.
Man.
So it's a little tiny bubbles, a tan, dark tan head.
And that's one of those things, you know, we talked about that some of the, usually darker beers don't pour the giant heads. I know Guinness does, but that's because they do that nitrogen trick, you know, where they run nitrogen through the lines instead of carbon dioxide.
Yeah, but when I went to Three Floyds and they were pouring the Dark Lord,
yeah,
it was the same thing. I mean, I told you the story where I had to wait 5 minutes for
the foam
to dissipate and become
so what's
beer.
The deal? What's the deal with some of these beers though, that we drink that they're dark and there's like no head?
I don't know what it is.
Is it the malt that causes the head versus more hops?
Well, I'm looking at mine and I got a tiny one, so you must have done an aggressive pour for one thing. Maybe you had some residuals in your glass. That could be another thing. But, I mean, that's a classic head for a stout right there.
Now that I'm looking at the right content, so you said it is their most robust beer. IBU of 25. Low. Back to where we started, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I notice all these around 5 point something.
That would be the North Carolina law.
Right.
Said all the beers had to be under 6%. So that's probably where all that's coming from.
I'm still not smelling the Chinook. But this it says hops or Chinook and Mount Hood. And that's it, right?
Yeah.
Mm. Very good. Large roasted chocolate flavor. Exactly what it is. This one I get a little more coffee than the porter. Porter usually has more coffee to me. But this one is kind of flip-flopped. The stout, this particular stout, very good.
I'm fixing to do a porter. I haven't done one yet. But a smoked porter for sure. Whether it's a Chipotle smoked porter or not, I don't know.
Well, I have my beer kit that is standing by, an IPA, American IPA, and I'm going to split it in the secondary ferment and do half of it regular and half of it pumpkin. We got a pumpkin ale show coming up sometime, one that my wife has insisted we do because she likes the pumpkin beer, you know. I'm not going to fault her for that. And that's, you know, again, the joys of homebrew, and you can do all kinds of crazy stuff, and hopefully the results come out good, right?
I had an opportunity to retry the Dogfish Head pumpkin ale.
Did you?
And it was good. Yeah, at the Stonefest, I tried it, and I think my palate was just wrecked.
Yeah.
But I tried it again, and it was actually quite good.
Now, when did you have that? At the Asheville?
That was at Asheville, at the Brewer Ash Festival.
Okay. Well, now, that's one I got to keep an eye out for, because I've heard kind of mixed reviews of that from other people, too, about, I guess it, you got to be in the right frame of mind or mood for that. But the pumpkin beers that we had last year, I had some pretty good ones. And it's not really something, I'm not a big weird sort of, I don't know what you call that type of beers, you know, where you like let's throw something in and see how it tastes.
Yeah.
I mean, I've had some good jalapeno beers. I've had some good Chipotle beers. You know, it's just one of those things that I guess you got to be in the mood to have.
There's another one that's exceptional and worth pointing out is the Carolina Beer and Beverage Pumpkin Spiced Ale. Mm-hmm. That sucker tastes just like a pumpkin pie.
Really?
Yeah, it was so good. I had that in Nashville, too.
Well,
and that's one of the bits of audio that's not going to make it out into to public.
You were just too pounded.
But it's a female brewer.
Really?
And, yeah, she blew me away. I was like, whoa, you are the brewer? Because she was there with her husband, and I'm going, well, that's so nice you're out here with your husband, you know, supporting his brewery and all that. And she goes, I'm the brewer. Oh, well, I'm a dumbass.
Well, now, see, that might be a good person for us to reach out to if we can. And
we should. She was chatty as heck.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. Unfortunately, I was incoherent at the time. But
I hear you. But that's but that's what they're all about. Well, we have got one more special beer, right, coming up. And
last segment.
We are going to listen to a song by
the folks that we're going to see this weekend, North Mississippi All-Stars. And they have put the blues to a folk song, which is 1968.
The band.
The band. Playing
one of my favorite songs. Actually, this is my theme song for a long time at work.
Great song. Fantastic lyrics.
I had the words posted on my wall.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right. Well, this is North Mississippi All-Stars covering the band's song, The Way.
Was feeling about half past it. I just need to find a place where I can lay my head. Hey, mister, can you tell me where a man might find a bed? He just grinned and shook my hand. No was all he said. Take a load off, Fanny. Take a load for free. Take a load off, Fanny. Right on me. I picked up my bag. I went looking for a place to hide. When I saw old Carmen and the devil walking side by side, I said, hey Carmen, come on, let's go downtown. She said, I got to go, but my friend can stick around. Take a load off, Fanny. Take a load for free. Take a load off, Fanny. And you put the load right on, right on. Go down, Moses. There's nothing you can say. Just old Luke and Luke's waiting on the judgment day. Well, Luke, my friend, what about young Annalee? Said, do me a favor, son, won't you stay and keep Annalee company? Take a load off, Annie. Take a load for free. Take a load off, Annie. Crazy Chester followed me, and he caught me in the fog. He said, I will fix your rat if you'll take Jack, my dog. He said, wait a minute, Chester, you know I'm a peaceful man. He said, that's okay, boy, won't you feel? Take a load for free. Take a load off, Annie. You put the load right on, right on. Get your cannonball now to take me down the line. My bag is sinking low, and I do believe it's time to get back to Miss Fanny. You know she's the only one who sent me here with her regards for everyone. Take a load off, Fanny. Take a load for free. Take a load off, Fanny. Load right on, right on.
Says North Mississippi All-Stars, classic song.
We're just like listening to it.
Yeah, we were. We were kind of digging to it.
That's good. I mean, that's a good song. You can't go right. And like you said, it's a departure from the blues. Well, yeah, it is, but they kind of put that blues feel to it. You know, folk and blues go hand in hand. And
yeah,
like,
it has a little bit of the country twang to it, though.
Well, and you were at the Bluegrass Festival, or Brewgrass in Asheville. So you heard a lot of this, and there is kind of a bluesy, folksy feeling.
Yeah, one of the things I want to mention, and because I'm not doing any audio backing to the audio extra, I'm not introing the songs, but there's a woman there who just blew me away. Her name is Robinella. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that she's actually bluegrass. She's kind of jazzy.
Yeah, she is, and she's kind of like a Fiona Apple sort of voice. I grabbed some of her songs, anticipating where we tried to do a hookup where while you were there.
That's right. You were going to Skype me.
But my timing was about 2 hours too short and probably about 30 beers too late.
Yeah.
But, and maybe, you know, I think we should play her on a show or two coming up.
Okay, we will. But she's also on the audio extras. So,
okay, good. So we'll hear some live Robinella, right?
Go buy her stuff. I mean, this woman is amazing. So that kind of ties into this whole folksy bluegrass, ties in with the blues, ties in jazz.
Yeah. Well, I guess bluegrass is a little more focused on like country, hill blues, hill country, backcountry blues.
Right.
And that's what these guys, North Mississippi All-Stars, that we just listened to, they're really, their roots are in the hill country blues. And their influences are R.L. Burnside, who we're going to see, son, Dwayne, Junior Kimbrough, Otha Turner, and others, and of course, their daddy, Jim Dickinson, blues legend and fantastic producer. These guys, North Mississippi All-Star, the base of that is the brothers, Luther and Cody Dickinson. These guys are huge on the college circuit. If you haven't heard them, the younger listeners may know.
Well, Rick Sellers from Pacific Brew News, he sent me a link from California, and it was called the Hardly Strictly Bluegrass Festival that they're having in San Francisco.
Yeah.
And on Sunday, one of the opening acts was North Mississippi All-Stars.
There you go.
Okay. I told him to go check them out. I don't think he went that day, though. But
Well, they're a fantastic group. I know we're going to be hearing lots from them for years to come. They do a nice interpretation. They kind of amp up and rev up some of the blues, and but yet they keep it that kind of old hill blues sound. Just bring it up a little notch.
So we're gonna try for a sound effect. Dun dun dun.
Yeah, here it is. We have been waiting on this and alluding to this the entire show, and now we can't get the top off. You sealed it too good. There it is. Yeah.
Well, that resounding pop you should have heard is the Imperial Gaelic Ale.
Yeah, and this is a bad boy here.
Which we've been foreshadowing the whole show.
We warmed up and tapped a little. We hit it a little. Just a little.
It's a 1 liter bottle. Limited distribution. 120 cases were brewed and sold the Sunday after the Brewgrass Festival at the Highland Brewing Company's new brewery, which was very much still under construction. And they were selling 6 liter bottles per person in line. The line was about an hour long, I would say.
Yeah. sold.
While
I was there?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
So he was podcasting at the event.
Well, very good. And good for him, and we appreciate that. And great, one more. Welcome to the fold that we know about. And this is an imperial version
of
the
Gaelic
Ale
right.
that we were raving about earlier. We enjoyed the Gaelic Ale.
They were distributing this at the Brewgrass Festival, but they were giving you real short pulls.
Yeah.
Promoting it. It was maybe a finger, 2 fingers of beer in your glass. So
because when we tried this earlier on, first thing you said was, whoa, man, I can taste the alcohol.
Yeah, it's got an alcohol bite to it.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it.
I got a big flavor rush When I tried it, the second sip, I got the alcohol. It's got the word Imperial. That yeah. means alcohol.
It's labeled at 8.7%, but I, at the show or at the festival, they were promoting it as 9.3%.
So there's no telling.
I'm going to go with the 9.3%.
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
Because it's got a high gravity to it.
It's a very tasty beverage, though. I mean, this is like an amped up Gaelic ale, which, of course, it should be, an Imperial Gaelic ale. I mean, it's really, man.
I assume that someday they'll go into production with this. But for now, there are 120 cases of it out there in the world. So we're enjoying the heck out of it.
Yeah, and this is very good stuff. So Highland Brewing Company, their selection that they brought to the table for us, that you kindly brought back from your...
In North Carolina, was bringing home the medals as far as the GABF. They've got some exceptional brewers. I think that they had 5 medals from North Carolina from the GABF this year.
And so. There's been a lot of coverage on all the podcasts, or many of the podcasts, about the GABF, the Great American Brew Festival. James Spencer covered it live, right?
That's right.
From there. And several other folks.
The Brewing Network was there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure who else.
And we are going to be in an upcoming show going to one of the winners, right? And there? Was that not where Ray's Honey Rye?
Yes, Ray's Honey Rye. And
from our own Bosco's.
The Bosco's Hefeweizen.
Yeah.
They both took silver.
Yeah. So we're going to be going. That was going to be a show coming up. We'll be.
That was going to be our anniversary show.
It was. But, you know, we just did it.
Life happens.
Yeah, that's right. Life happened on us. And so good show. We've had some fantastic beers from Highland Brewing Company. We've got... kind of a different sort of mix of music. Again, life happened to our musical guest we were going to have. And we've got more stuff coming up for you. Stay tuned and join
us. Catch you next time. You can catch up with the happy escapades of the Big Foamy Head crew.
There you go.
As we gallivant about the country
and hopefully
do the things we do.
We'll remember our lost weekend coming up and have all kinds of stuff to tell you about next time. So we're going to close it out with the guy that started the show, Eric Clapton, who we talked about this earlier. This guy's a blues artist. Everybody thinks Eric is God and all of this. The man's a blues artist. That's what he started off with.
I did want to talk about this. We've gotten our listeners, obviously, they're interested in either beer or the blues or the barbecue. I would like to think that the folks that are listening for our beer segments, the fact that they like the craft beers and the beers that we sample are open to musical selections. And the blues are the history of the rock and roll. And,
let us know.
So
we need to know.
Well, not that we're going to do anything about it. We're still going to feature the blues, but
we're just throwing that out there.
If you want to say you don't like it, go ahead. But I think that our listeners would appreciate this. So
yeah, no, really, this is good stuff. I mean, we try and put a little care and consideration in what we bring a little something interesting into it. Hope you get something out of it. But Eric Clapton, you know, his days with John Mayall and the Blues Breakers, Cream. This is some earlier stuff. This is a kind of a twofer rolled up into one. Rambling on My Mind, Robert Johnson song, changing into an Eric Clapton song, Have You Ever Loved a Woman? So here you go. Enjoy, and we'll see you next time.
Drive safe.
I've got got rambling all on my mind. I got rambling. I got rambling all on my mind. I hastily leave my baby. But she treats me so unkind. I got mean things. I got mean things all on my mind. I got mean things. I got mean things all on my mind. Baby, but she treats me so unkind. F sharp.
Thank you.